thank you so much for coming. Praise the Lord, all of you that are members. Glory to God, you get another crown in heaven, I believe, just for being faithful. But what a great privilege if you are a guest this evening, of course. And Pastor, thank you so much for taking time from your ministry to come and be here and share also in fellowship this evening. It's a great blessing to have you here. I am a pastor. I know what it means for another pastor to go to another pastor church and sit there, and it just means you got a great heart and you want to receive something from God. That's what it means. And what a great privilege to do that. Pastor Barry, thank you for the opportunity to be with you again. I was trying to remember if I was here last year or if it was year before last. Can you remember? Was it last year? Praise the Lord. It just, time just seems to get by pretty quick, doesn't it? But what a privilege to be here. I promise you, I did not bring the snow with me. When I left Houston, it was about 50 degrees, and we live right, my wife Cindy and I live right outside of Houston, close to a Johnson Space Center down in that section, kind of the southeast side of Houston. About 8 or 10 more weeks, we will celebrate our 40th anniversary as the pastors of the church there in Lamarck, and we're very excited about that. We founded that church in our home with 10 people in 1985, and God has just blessed it, and it is wonderful what God's doing there. We have 3 campuses now. We have one there. We have one on the island of Galveston. We have one also in a place called Alice, Texas. So what's up, Alice? That's where we are. Some of them actually will be watching online, I understand, this evening, too. And we're glad they're with us. And our great audience here in the Knoxville area or wherever you're viewing from, we're glad you're with us this evening. Please let us know where you're viewing from. Go ahead and email or text something in or respond the way you normally would. We'd like to know. And if you're in the Knoxville area and you're not committed to a Spirit-filled Holy Ghost church, this would be a great one to come and be a part of. We'd love for you to do that also. And on Sundays, there's normally better preaching than you'll hear tonight, so be sure and come and listen to the pastor, because he's a powerful man of God, and it's a great blessing, and we're just thrilled. I'm very excited to be here with you this evening. What a day we're living in, church. What an amazing day. How many of you have been watching the news here recently? Praise the Lord. If you haven't, I'm sure that you've been under a rock somewhere for the last few days, other than that, because what's taking place out in California is very... it's very challenging, to say the least. I know people that live right in that area. I've been in that area many times. There's people out there that are as filled with the Holy Ghost as you and me. They love God. Some of them, their houses burned. They're full of the Spirit of God. And I'm just going to ask you to join me and a multitude of other believers. There's many, many Christians, of course, I believe, worldwide that are praying, especially for the believers. They're in the Pacific Palisades area and all over that region where those fires are burning. Those things aren't out yet. That could still go on for a little while longer. But you know, I know we serve the God who just specializes in showing up in the middle of a fire. Amen. He knows how to get in the middle of a fire and turn it into a revival before it's over with. There's a baptism of fire that God will actually... supernaturally by his anointing will affect your life, and things that have a hold of you that ought not be there, he knows how to burn those things out. So I'm not saying that God did that out in California, of course, because I'd never attribute evil to God. But one thing I can say is God knows how to have his way in the middle of a whirlwind. He knows how to cause anointings to arise out of things that you and I would never understand exactly how it could do that. I'm a student of the Word, and I love history. I love church history. I love the history of the Word of God. And I was just noticing that in 1906, there was a great revival. You're hopefully familiar with it, that begun, called the Azusa Revival. Everybody heard of Azusa Street? Well, wave your hand if you heard of Azusa. So a great movement that literally opened up the United States and in much of the world to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the present day ministry of the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ and in the earth. That happened in 1906, and it's very interesting to me that that same month, on April the 18th. That happened in April when William Seymour left the little Baptist church that he had gone out in view of a call because they did not believe in the Holy Spirit. And so he went and opened up in that month, in April of 1906, he opened up a place and he called it the Apostolic Faith Missionary, or Mission, not Missionary, Mission, Apostolic Faith Mission. And there he began to minister. And the rest is history. The move of God began to take place. But that same month, on April the 18th of 1906, in San Francisco, that 7.8 earthquake hit there and killed 3,000 plus people at 5 a.m. in the morning. The same month that the fire of God started in Los Angeles, that began to sweep the nation. That's almost 120 years ago. We're coming up on 120 years. Come on, somebody shout 120. In the Bible, 120 is a very interesting word, and I'm not going to preach this tonight, but I do want to get you informed so you'll pray this direction, because I believe God's trying to break revival out that we've heard prophesied about. My father pastored a Holy Ghost church for 50 years. I heard him prophesy it all the days of my life, that a move of God that's unprecedented so far, we're going to see it, and I still believe, I do not despise prophesying. I believe we'll see it take place. Come on, shout hallelujah. And there's an amazing thing that took place. Here we are now, almost 120 years later, and in the same month, something that nearly destroyed San Francisco, a fire of God was lit in Los Angeles. Genesis 6:3, in it, God speaks to Noah, and he says that man's days shall be 120 years. So I'm not saying, I'm not talking about 120 years per se for a definition, but what I am saying, church, is 120 means something. It means something to us. It means something to God. It's very important in the Word. You'll see it in more than one place there. And we're coming up on 120 years, believe it or not, since the Azusa outpouring and since that huge attack that took place there. And now we see this unprecedented fire that's hit there, and all of the prophetic words that I've heard as we're coming up to that 120 point, we're going to see that not too many months in the future right now. Guys, I believe that we are on the very precipice right now of a powerful move of the Holy Ghost. I believe it's going to go around the world, and I intend to be alive to see it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is the day that we are living in. We're seeing so much prophetically take place. God is healing our land. He's healing our nation. Let me just talk for a moment. I promise you I'll preach for just a minute, and then I want to anoint some men and women that desire to be anointed tonight, if the Spirit of God will just give me that liberty here in just a moment. We're living in a time, and I believe that time begun. Something spiritually was released October the 7th, a year and a half ago, when Israel was attacked the way it was, and the body of Christ began to pray because of the atrocity that took place there. How many of you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? You should pray that every day. And the scripture says that God will bless you if you will pray, that God will bless them. That's because Jesus is coming back there one day. Hell would try to abort that every way he could and destroy that and do everything he could to level it. But I've got good news. The devil's a liar. Jesus is Lord, and he'll set his foot on the Mount of Olives one day, the Bible says, and it's going to split wide open, and the gates of hell are not going to be able to stop it. There are unique times that take place. We're cataloging these things now. We've been able to do it now for 120 years. And we see those trends and those movements of the Holy Spirit in a generation. Everybody say generation. There's a big difference in a generation and a dispensation. The Bible talks 10 to 1 about generations over dispensations. We're dispensationalists. And so we understand that there are times of God like that, but there are also generations. And you live in a part of three generations normally. You're born in one, and then you'll live about 40 or 50 more years, and you'll be, which is the span of a generation in the scripture normally. And then you'll go to heaven out of the third one at some point. So if you live to be 90 and 100 years old, you will have lived in a part of three generations. And God knew you would be here today. Stop saying you're too old to be used by God. Can I get a better amen? God knew you would be here today. And all generations, in Matthew, Jesus taught about the movements. There's seven movements that take place in generations. That's maybe a message for later in the week. And those, you can see them. Not that we can just catalog God strictly, but we can follow His Word. And we can see that those things that take place till you get right up to the end of a generation. And if a generation has not turned to God, the Bible says the victory that you've had to break demonic control in that particular time, that demon will go back and he will walk around and he'll try to see whether if you're just purged or have you been occupied. How many of you are glad your body's a temple for the Holy Ghost? And if he doesn't find the church full of the power and full of the Spirit of God, that demon will go and get seven other spirits. And they'll try to make it worse than it was before. That's why you and I are told that we should stay full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Every mother and father ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. You want to parent your children. You want to grandparent your children today with wisdom, with understanding, and with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because there are so many attacks that are coming against them today. But thank God you can have the victory in the name of Jesus. You can be, the Bible says, you're more than a conqueror. I believe something is taking place in this day we're living in right now. I think I see it pretty plainly. I've been talking about it for 20 years. Somewhere around the year 2000, and I don't know the exact day, and I don't know if there is an exact day. There's a time and a season. I believe a new generation began. Those are about 50-year periods of time, give or take a little bit. Those generational moves begin to take place. And so we saw that. We know when Israel became a nation, of course, in 48. You can add about 50 years to that. And then you get up pretty close to 2000. And I remember I was pastoring still in those days. I'm still pastoring today. And was pastoring there. And I remember that some people almost, they nearly lost their mind because we were going into a new millennium. And it's something that if you're over 25 years old, you experience that. And you'll never experience it again either because it takes 1,000 years for you to change millennium like that. And so here we did it. We stepped into another from the 19s to the 20s. And it just created a buzz in the world. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of anticipation. People were selling their insurance policies and cashing them in and doing all that kind of stuff. And I told the people in our church, do not do that. I don't care what preacher you heard on TV tell you to do it or whatever it was. Just remember, January the 1st is coming. And when January the 1st comes, the world's not going to crater. It's not going to take place. The computers are not going to crash. And if I'm wrong, and God raptures us out of here on that day, on the way up, I'll just tell you I was wrong. But if I'm right, glory to God, you better have the dignity to come and tell me that I was right if you disagree with that. And so, of course, the year 2000 came and the computers didn't crash and none of the other threats that it was a spirit of fear tried to grip everybody. The reason I'm saying that, a lot of people, though, had a lot of anticipation. Look at what has happened since 2000. Technology has just boomed in a way that it's unprecedented in a 25-year period of time. And in that 25-year period of time, we are now in the middle of a generation. And to a large degree, the body of Christ let down its guard. We became good at some things. We got on television a lot. I've been on TV and have traveled now to 31 countries preaching the gospel in 31 nations. And what a privilege to be able to do all of that stuff. But I'd like to tell you that all that is just a vehicle. It's a tool to take the good news of Jesus to the world. We can never become like the world. We're in the world. Come on, shout hallelujah. Come on, church. But we're not of the world. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. We are the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. Thank God the body of Christ is figuring that part out. I thank God I had a daddy who would preach that and a mama that were not ashamed of the fact that God could bless you. You're made in the image and the likeness of God. The Bible says, have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Absolutely, let this spirit be in you that was in Christ Jesus, but let the brain start working that way too. Come on, shout hallelujah. Let that mind be in you also. Cast down imagination. Imaginations aren't in your spirit, they're in your mind. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you have to do that 7,000 times a day, do it till you get the victory. You'll have the victory. And you'll be what the Bible says, changed a little bit more into His image from every glorious experience to the next glorious experience. God is changing you. Hallelujah. And so we saw that generational swing that took place. And then the body of Christ began to pray in an unprecedented manner. Probably that begun to happen. That probably begun to happen about 8 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago. The body of Christ began to pray for the nation. How many of you are glad God will heal our land? Amen. I believe that healing is taking place right now. Amen. There has been a spiritual move across this country. I'm not up here politicking, so I could care less about that, though I have been invited to go to the inauguration, so I'm going to do that. But what I'm saying is, it's very important that we as the church recognize that that stuff is not political. There are some spiritual things that are taking place. Amen. And we pray, God heal our land. Sometimes when God says, all right, I'm going to heal the land and position you to really be blessed, sometimes because of old mindsets, we get real angry. We get mad at God. But God's in the healing business. Come on. What a good God we serve. And right now there's an outpouring of the love of God and a unification that's beginning to come that most of us have not really experienced in our lifetime. It's beginning to take place. I've seen one of the wildest things, Pastor, I think I've ever seen in my life. And I have some connection to some of these people. I have to be careful what I say because they're streaming online right now. But some of the wealthiest people in the world that 6 months ago, 4 months ago, 3 months ago, never gave God any airtime whatsoever in their life that we know of. All of a sudden, they're beginning to turn toward God, and the wealth of those men and women is suddenly beginning to be used to be a blessing. And we're seeing it happen right in front of our eyes. I start naming those people, you'd know who I was talking about. We're living in a marvelous time. That move of God is beginning. That move of God is beginning. Jesus said, you know the scripture. He said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The Bible didn't say what the pastor binds and the pastor looses. No, it says what you. Come on, everyone shout me. Come on, you have authority in the name of Jesus. He said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He said, I'll give you these keys to the kingdom that will work in this world. He's not waiting until you get to heaven. You and I don't need the keys to the kingdom in heaven. Go to heaven. No, you need them right here in the nasty now and now. And he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The gates of hell, you notice that's a plural right there also. If you read it in the Greek, it's going to be plural. The gates of hell, the councils, the position, the places of power, where hell tries to set that up, and there are more than one. It's not like hell has one giant gate on it and all of that. He didn't say the gate, he said the gates. And the keys to the kingdom of God to give you victory over those things. But there are places on the earth. Get Perry Stone's teaching on that. I think you'll enjoy it. And it's a very interesting thing. And where in the Bible you see in a sovereign way, and I'm real careful when I talk about this because of that word is such a powerful word. And because God has given you and I so much dominion and authority ourselves, we don't want to cop out on obeying God and just say everything that takes place on the planet is the sovereignty of God. How many of you know God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance? Is that in your Bible also? Absolutely. It is not God's will that men go to hell. But a lot of people are going to go to hell. That means the will of God doesn't always get done, but the will of God always gets offered. It's always there. It's available. I wish I could explain it a little bit stronger than that. I don't believe as a single person it's the will of God that you're sick in your body, because at Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago, with his stripes, we were healed. Jesus didn't do that just for some people some of the time. He did that for all of us. Give me a little glass of water there if somebody would. He did that for every one of us. I've been preaching a whole lot here recently. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. And so it's extremely important. Let me take a swallow of this. Y'all want any of this? No. And so it's very important that we understand that God has a will. Now, everything that's the will of God doesn't necessarily come to pass in that sense of the word. So, but his will is there. He wants you and I to enter into it. Oh, hallelujah. And so there are places, there are times. I ask God to give me some understanding about it. And I think this is, it's appropriate. Because right out of Hollywood there have been so many prophetic things that have been spoken of. And spoken about that. California and that area there. California sets the trends many times for our nation. They start out there and they just begin to go east. Who knows what I'm talking about? I mean everything from fashion to music to new drugs. All kind of stuff that it just begins to take place. And the devil thinks he has a stronghold there. Jesus went into one of those in Gadara. Some guy has 6,000 demons in him. You know, no one in here has 6,000 demons. 4,000 or 5,000 maybe, but not 6, I can tell you. No, nobody has 6,000 demons. That's a military thing that was going on there. It was a stronghold. It was a gate. It's something there. And Jesus, now listen to me, I don't know who was praying about it, but Jesus sovereignly went in there, wrecked the devil's stronghold, turned a guy that was demon-possessed into an evangelist. That sounds typical, doesn't it? Into an evangelist. And then he just went on. There were 10 cities there, actually, that man had a huge impact on, history tells us. So it's very important to understand there are times and there are places. Nineveh was one of those places. God just did it in a way. He just showed up, did it a unique way. Egypt was one of those places. God just showed up and just sovereignly, he raised up a guy named Moses, and Moses wrecks the whole place, and God showed up, and he did it with plagues, he did it with all of those things, and then of course the Red Sea, all of those crosses, you see it over and over. In Noah's day, God sovereignly changed some things. In Abraham's day, God just suddenly showed up. He goes to Sodom and Gomorrah because so much wickedness was taking place. And he knows how to adjust those things. He knows how to take the teeth of the devil. I like how David said it. He has smitten my enemy on his cheekbone. He knows how to smite him on the cheekbone. Now, I'm not talking about people or individuals or anything like that in California, but I'm telling you right now, God has arrested this world's attention. And I believe out of that fire, I believe a holy move of God's going to. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Several things prophetically. Let me just share this with you. Several things prophetically I felt like God spoke to me. I do this with our churches. We do it on our radio stations and our TV programs and all of those things. So I just want to share it with you just for a moment this evening. One of the things God spoke to me about this year, about 2025, and I'm going real fast with this because I don't want you to fall asleep. It's very important that we get a hold of those principles of the Word of God. I believe God has given us a reset in the middle of this generation. This generation has another 25 years to go approximately. I believe because people begin to pray instead of letting down their guard spiritually, I believe we have raised up a standard, a barrier. God's doing that today. And I believe it's going to get even stronger and stronger in the days ahead. In 2 Kings chapter 8, there was a little woman. You know the story. I was studying this back in the fall, and the Spirit of the Lord said, you'll see this take place in 2025 many, many times. There was a woman that listened to Elijah the prophet. She left to Elisha. She left, took her son, went to another land, a wealthy woman. She comes back 7 years later. When she comes back 7 years later, she had lost all of her possessions, had lost everything. But she didn't lose her witness. She didn't lose her testimony. She didn't lose that fire that she had on the inside. She goes to the king and she says, I want my land back. How many of you know the story? And in one day, miraculously, God restored everything back. He restored 7 years back in one day. And the Holy Ghost said, many people in 2025 will hear, will have the testimony, and you'll hear that God has restored 7 years back in one day in their life. Oh, glory to God. What did the COVID thing take away from you? What did it do? Go back 7 years. Think back to 2018 up till right now. What has hell tried to siphon out of your life? I believe God can multiply it back with interest. Just stay faithful to God. Stay in that move of God. Stay under that anointing. If you're a member of this church, support the house of God. Support your ministers that are here. More than ever before. Glory to God. Bring your sons and daughters. Bring them to the house of God with you. Come on, shout hallelujah. Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail. And I believe that's why, I'm so sorry about that cough, just suddenly. That's why it is so important that you and I recognize that there are times when if the body of Christ looks like they're losing ground, now listen, or if it looks like hell is prevailing in a generation, God will sovereignly or supernaturally get that thing and reset it. That's what he did in Germany. That's what he did in Nagasaki and in Hiroshima. I'm preaching better than your amen, and I can tell you that. You see it all through the scriptures. If you look at Daniel, Daniel, of course, was an amazing thing that took place. When God walked in the fire with the three Hebrew children, of course, Daniel was the one who's training them. And they walked through that fire. And when they came through that, God had supernaturally reset that whole nation. The reason he did is Daniel, of course, then became the head magi. He was a magi. He became the head magi. And there, because of the teachings that were there, hundreds of years later, there were several magi, we don't know for sure how many, that suddenly showed up, and you and I have it written in the book of Matthew. We know about that today because of that. God reset that whole thing. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah, because if it looks like hell has attacked your family, attacked your business, attacked your health, all of those things, God knows how to reset it. We are living in that age right now, church. We should pray, obey God, and expect to receive. For me and my house, I'm calling for 7 years in one day. 7 years in one day. I've got thousands of people, and they're calling for 7 years in one day. Somebody shout 7 years. That's an extremely necessary thing. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said there will be extreme, they will call it extreme. This year, extreme expansions. Everybody put their hands together like this and just go stretch. Come on, go with me. Stretch. Let God stretch you. Extreme. Stretch you. Well, we don't do it that way. We'll do it that way. Stop doing it the other way. How are you going to get new wine in an old wineskin? Give God something new to work with. Hallelujah. Learn a new song. Do something. I love our songs too. I can tell you that. Extreme expansion. Extreme manifestations. Listen, God specializes in extreme manifestations. Just go ask Jonah. An extreme manifestation. Ask the Philippian jailer. When the jail crumbled around him, can you imagine what that guy was thinking when all of a sudden that wall just starts crumbling and falling? And then here comes Paul and Silas. That guy's about to kill his own self right there. He's about to freak out, the Bible says, and commit suicide because he was sure the prisoners were all going to get escaped, of course, and that he'd be penalized. And his penalty as the commander would be to be put to death. But instead, Paul converted him. And there's still remnants of that church there today, 1,900 years later. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Extreme manifestations. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I wrote it down on watch night. Extreme judgments on the enemies of God. Extreme judgments. But out of that, God raises up revival. He always has, and he always will. Because the gates of hell are not going to succeed against you in Jesus' name. Can you shout amen? And then the Lord said this. He said, have people pray and confess this over their life. Receive it. Bind up cancer. I believe that we're this close in this generation to God releasing the information that's necessary that cancer will be a thing of the past. I do. I believe it will be in this generation. You say, well, can God heal? Well, sure, God heals. That's the good thing. But I'm talking about eliminating it. Its ability. I believe that's going to take place. Shout, no cancer. Here's the second one. No arthritis. Say it like you mean it, church. In the name of Jesus, no arthritis. And then the Lord said, tell the church this is a year of extreme favor. Favor in the body of Christ, favor on your job, favor in whatever you put your hand to. Believe God. Don't wish and hope. Believe God for long life. Believe God for long life. Everybody says, well, I wish, you know, I sure hope I do. You know, my Aunt Mildred, she lived to be 104 and everything. I sure hope I may. No, get out of that. Just thank God. Thank God you got some good DNA. Now manage it, because if you mess it up, you have to leave. You got to go to heaven. No. You're more valuable to God on earth than you are in heaven. Hallelujah. Christians are a dime a dozen on the streets of gold. Come on, shout hallelujah. He needs you and I down here. There's a time, there's an appointed time. But God spoke to me strong about long life. About long life. And then the power of the zeal of God that's released through signs and wonders. Oh, hallelujah. We're living in that day, church. And you know, I encourage you to be here. Pastor, when's it going to be when Gustavo Paez is here also? This coming Wednesday. So 3 days from now. So Gustavo Paez, I've known Gustavo quite a while. Been down to Colombia. South America, not South Carolina. Been to Colombia, preached down there with him, ministered with him, had him in our church numerous times and all of that. He is a powerful man. Some of you, have you ever heard of William Branham? Anyone ever heard of William Branham? Wave your hand. You ever heard of William Branham? A powerful prophet of God. Now, I don't necessarily agree with all of his doctrine and stuff like that, but I don't disagree with his gift. This guy had a gift. I remember talking to Lester Summerall and to Oral Roberts and several guys who were very close, I was real close to. Back in the past decade, you know. And I asked him, did you know him personally? And they'd say, well, yeah, we met him. We knew him and stuff. I don't know if anybody knew him really personally, except maybe Wayman Rogers. I think Wayman knew him real well. And I said, how did he do that? Because I've heard some of those tapes, and I wouldn't want that message itself necessarily preached in our pulpit. of some of the stuff that was said in it, but I said, that gift from God. Oh, hallelujah. That gift from God. The reason I'm saying that, when I met Gustavo Páez, and I was in William Branham meetings when I was a little boy. I know I don't look like I'm 107, but I am. And when I was in William Branham's meetings over in Shreveport, Louisiana. And in Beaumont, Texas one time, there were several thousand people in this meeting. And my mother and father, who were bright red-headed and blue-eyed, were sitting over, in a pastor section. And he turned all of a sudden, and he said, that woman over there with the red hair, and I've got this on a disc if I ever wanted to hear it again. He said, that woman with the red hair over there. He said, if the Lord were to tell me your name, would you believe Jesus is here to heal you right now? And, of course, she said, yes. And she wore real thick glasses. She was a beautiful lady, but she wore thick glasses. And she had injured her back real bad. And he said, you've come here tonight. This was in the 60s. You've come here tonight to be healed in your back and in your eyes. Is that right? And she said, yes. He said, well, Miss Hallam, go and be healed in Jesus' name. Bam, bam, back and eyes healed, just like that. Took those Coke bottle glasses off in the 60s, wore them, had several more children after that, and never wore them again. She didn't wear them. She never wore them again until she got up in her late 60s. She started wearing glasses because she needed them to pass her driving test. Come on, shout hallelujah. God instantly healed her. Thank God for the signs and wonders of the Holy Ghost. And so there, the first time I saw Gustavo Páez, because I want y'all to come hear him, if you've not been in one of his meetings, and when he began to operate in that same type of word of knowledge and word of wisdom, I said, oh my goodness, that's about as close to it as I've seen, and I've seen quite a lot. I'm in my 70s now, and I bless the Lord for that. I'm amazed at what I've seen and experienced in the body of Christ. But I love the power of those things. I highly recommend that you come and be in those meetings. Shout amen. And then several things real quickly here. I sure am wanting to preach, but let me just keep doing this right now for a second. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, tell people, pay off their mortgages. Get your faith out there to pay off your mortgage. Hallelujah. It's not a fantasy. It's something you can do. Ask God. Tithe and offer. And then ask God. And if you own a home, pay it off. I said pay it off if you own it. Secondly, the Lord said, this year, ask God to give you a divine impartation of wisdom. A divine impartation. I was telling Pastor, I have a list. I'm not going to talk about that list tonight. But I have 22 ways that Cindy and I are compensated, that we make money. 22 different ways. Some of them are substantial. And it's a real blessing. Now, don't get mad at me. Don't go hating on me. I can't help it if I'm a child of a king. My father owns the universe. And several companies, some other things. And tomorrow night, maybe I'll talk a little about that. And I believe there are impartations. I was talking to a brother this morning. I came to church this morning. On Sundays, I believe you ought to go to church. I've been in church almost every Sunday of my life. And I suffer from faith. And from, I'm known in hell as an abuser of demons and stuff. But because I still believe you ought to go to church. Cindy and I would go to church. We raised three daughters. And Cindy and I and our kids, we'd go to vacation. We'd be out in Hawaii, or we'd be in Ireland, or in Australia, or wherever we go on vacation, all that stuff. We'd go there, and they'd say, what are we going to do? And I'd say, what day is it? They'd say, it's Sunday. I said, well, you know what we're going to do. We're going to church. And we would go to church, and then we would finish the vacation on Sundays like that, because I like to not forsake the assembly. And you're here, glory to God, on a freezing night. You must really love God. And then the third thing the Lord said, tell people to pray, Luke 6:38, over their life, that as you have sown, and I'm not about to take an offering, I want you to listen, as you have sown, that God will cause someone to want to give back into your bosom. See, we're giving people. The church, the body of Christ, we're givers. I mean, I can't hardly pass an intersection anymore. There'll be somebody with a sign, you know, help me. I'm not really sure if they need it or not. But if I drive up there, I'm like, God, you've been so good to me. What's $5? What's $10? Maybe it'll help them. Maybe they really need, you know, some baby formula or something. I don't know what they need. I just can't hardly do it. Because God's a good God. And the scripture says that when you give, God will give it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen? And then he says, and he will cause men to give unto your bosom. I've never prayed, God, let somebody give unto my bosom. Let somebody bless me back. I've never prayed that one time. But the head of the church, the one who sits on the throne, his name is Jesus. He said that he will move on people to bless you. So I added it because that's what he told me to do. So I started praying, God, let somebody bless me. I am not making this up. Listen to me. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there. It's the last week of the year, a couple of days away from the last night of the year, the other day. I'm sitting there going over some notes. I'm writing these things down because I'm going to do a watch night service in a couple of days. And my phone rings. I pick it up, and a man calls me. He says, Pastor Hallam. I said, yes. Hey, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing good. And he was trying not to bust out crying. He said, God just told me I have to send you $20,000. What's your mailing address? I said, well, just send it to the church. No, I'm not going to send it to the church. I'm going to send it to you, he said. God knows how to get you blessed. Look at two people and just say, did God tell you to give me some money? Come on, just ask him real quick. Just a thought. Let me do this real quick. Glory to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, a story you're probably familiar with, there was a man, his name was Samuel. He was a great priest. He was leading Israel. He was judging Israel. Powerful man of God. And the Bible says that he was grieving. The reason he was grieving is he knew he was anointed. He'd been leading Israel. And he had issues that were going on in his life. They were going on real bad in Israel. And suddenly the people of Israel decided they didn't want him to lead them anymore. And they said of him, in chapter 16, in verse 5, they said something like this. Glory to God. They said, we can't have you over us any longer. Let me paraphrase it. We can't have you over us any longer because you're too old and your sons don't live for God. And that was their justification. We want a king. We want like the other countries have. How many of you have read that in the Bible? And the scripture said he was grieving. And God spoke to him in verse 1. And the Lord said, how long will you mourn? How long will you grieve for Saul? Why do you grieve for him so long? I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. And then God said it like this. Fill thy horn with oil and go. Say it with me. Fill thy horn with oil and go. A powerful word. He's mourning. He's grieving because he was an anointed man. He loved Israel and he loved to obey God. I'm going to do this quick, but I want you to get it. And in the process, his sons had gone away from serving God. He tried to get them to obey God. And they continued to pull away, and they missed it. And he's grieving over that. The men of Israel have made a decision. We don't want the old ways. We don't want what's been going on. Yeah, the victories are great. They're wonderful, but we want to be like the world. We want to be like all the others. And the Bible says he's just grieving. How many of you are glad Isaiah 53:3 says, surely, surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow. You'll enjoy these words if you like Hebrew word studies. That word literally, to carry, he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. It's an interesting word, and it's the word N-A-S-A, NASA. And it means, in the Hebrew, to lift up and carry away. At Calvary, I live right next, right real close to Johnson Space Center, where I live, where NASA is. And it's amazing, because that acronym is actually a Hebrew word. That means to lift up and carry off. Jesus, surely, he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Now look, we're not in denial. We live in a world. If you live long enough, you can experience very difficult things. Come on, shout hallelujah. We understand that that's there. But God does not have a plan for your life to leave you in grief and pain. I promise you that when that comes, he has a plan to lift that off of you and carry it away. If you will allow him to do that, he is the God who heals the brokenhearted. Jesus' first recorded message that we know he preached, Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Somebody shout hallelujah. God does not have a plan in your life to leave you hurting. He never has and he never will. We go through things, but God delivers us out of them all. He says to Samuel, fill your horn. Horns are very interesting. Prophets, those great men of God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, most of them would have a horn, normally a ram's horn or something like that. And they could turn those into containers. And they would put a certain type of oil in there. They would pray over that. And they would use that in different ceremonial things that they would do to anoint. And that oil represented the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of God. The purpose of God. There was an anointing. The anointing is that present manifestation of the Holy Ghost that empowers you. The presence of God that empowers you, that equips you, the anointing. Thank God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible says that Samuel, God said, stop mourning. There's a time you have to stop. I've told a story, I think, here one time before. In 2002, my 18-year-old daughter went to heaven suddenly one day. She's a minister of the gospel, a freshman in college. And she goes to heaven suddenly one day in an accident. She's in heaven. They give me a call. I'm about to get up and preach with thousands of people. And they call me where I am and say, your daughter is dead. But Jesus said, don't ever say your daughter's dead. She's alive. She's more alive today than she's ever been before. She just doesn't live here anymore. She's alive. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven. But the grief comes and the pain comes. And it's difficult. There's no easy thing. Many of you in here have experienced difficult things in your life. And there's no easy thing. But God did not have a plan to leave me or my wife in that pain. Or our other two daughters. God didn't have a plan to leave us in that. Oh no. We just had to seek God and find that plan. And we found that surely he has disconnected me from my grief and carried my sorrow. He knows how to lift it off and take it away if you know how to yield to him. So I could probably match stories with just about anyone on the pain column. But I've got good news. Jesus is not Jehovah Sicko. He is, come on, church. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals everything that hurts. And there's an anointing that gets on your life, an anointing that gets on you. And all of a sudden, something powerful begins to happen. That anointing was on, there were some great men and women of God in the Bible. I mean, the anointing, when the anointing got on Paul, Paul would begin to preach. And after his messages, apparently they would take his cloak of some kind and cut it into strips. And they would send it to people. And the anointing that was on him, the Bible says they would lay it on people that were sick and people that have demons, and the sick would get healed and the demonically oppressed would be set free. That anointing is powerful. The anointing's powerful. David was anointed. Thank God for the anointing. Moses' face, when that anointing would get on him, they'd have to put a veil on him because his face would shine so much that people couldn't stand to look at his face. I think it's wonderful. The woman with the issue of blood. I know people say she touched Jesus and got whole, but just correctly speaking, she didn't touch Jesus that we know of. She touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched that, then the virtue, of course, she activated that anointing and it just flowed out of her, just like that, into her. And the Bible says she was made whole. She didn't touch him. Have you ever been in a place where you just won't touch Jesus, but you can't touch him? It just seems like there's a barrier or there's some kind of hindrance and all of that. Sometimes, just like this woman, she didn't touch Jesus. She just touched something that had been touching Jesus. Can I just say that you're anointed? Come on, shout, I'm anointed. And sometimes you just get around other people that are anointed. When you don't feel like you can touch Jesus, get around somebody who has touched Jesus. And watch that anointing begin to flow in your life. Look at three people and tell them, you're anointed. Come on, I'm about finished. Tell them, you're anointed. Tell the next one, you're anointed. I wish I had time to preach this message. Such a good message. I preach it in three parts. So you're getting the whole thing in one part, and I'm done. Jesus knows how to anoint. The third thing that happened with Samuel, he had poured the oil on Saul. And Saul started out like a house of fire. He got anointed, and another spirit came upon him, and he prophesied. And he suddenly was a new man. He was a different man. But then he got all up into himself. And when he did, he said, I don't have to wait for my pastor. I found out without your pastor, you'll have a disaster. Now look, it doesn't have to be divine just because it rhymes, but I'm telling you, that one's pretty close right there. I've seen this all my life. I've been in church all my life. I've been in the pulpit now for at least 50 years and a senior pastor for over 40. And what a joy to say that. And I'm just going to tell you straight up that you are anointed. And when people get around you, they may have trouble reaching Jesus, but they're going to reach him through you sometimes. And vice versa. Sometimes you may be, that's why, it's one of the reasons Jesus said that if two or three of you, just two or more of you will agree together, you're like, I need this answer, but I need somebody that can agree with me in this one, because for some reason I'm not breaking through on it. Well, Jesus said that because there'd be times when it would take more than one. Because you would be in those moments, in those situations, where it may take more than just one. And then he says to him, stop grieving, Samuel. Saul, I have rejected him. Your sons aren't going to make it. Israel's gone another direction. But there's this young lad. His name is David. And I want you to go down to Jesse's house, his father's house. And there's a lot of substitutes that are going to come up here, but there's one that nobody can do what he's going to do except him, because that's what I've called him to do. How many of you are glad God's called you and no one else is supposed to do what you're supposed to do? And he sees David. You know the story. He anoints David. I imagine Samuel's like, God, why am I going to go do that? That's Jesse. There's nothing, you know, kingly about this situation. But I can just hear this rolling off, and humor me with it just a second. Maybe God said something to him like, well, he's just a teenage boy right now, but here in about 15 years or so, he's going to become king of everything, of Judah and all the other tribes also. And he's going to get on a horse with his group, and he's going to go to the city of the Jebusites. And he's going to take that city over, and he's going to rename it. I'm preaching better than you're amening. I promise you. And that's going to be the city of God. That's going to be Jerusalem. He's going to take that over. And one day, a few hundred years from now, one of his long distant offspring is going to have a son. And that son is going to have a father called Jehovah, called God. And he's going to save men from their sins. He is the Messiah. And he's going to do that, and that's the man who's after my heart, and I'm after him. So go anoint him. Come on, shout, I'm anointed. You got to get that in your spirit. There's an anointing that gets on your children. It gets on your grandchildren. God has a plan. I like to package it all real nice and sweet and say, it's going to all happen in just a little short period of time. God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But God plays long ball. We play checkers. God's playing chess. God has a plan, and you're part of that plan. And his blessings are going to flow all the way in there.